Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Somehow my recording levels are low, so I'm gonna have to boost this during the edit process, which I hate to do. I don't know why it's so damn low. I'm gonna get something to drink. Maybe just a bottled water instead of a soda. A healthier alternative. It's Friday. I came home. I already had, I don't know, 50 hours in, and I'm tired, really tired. B busy week. Sometimes it's feast or famine, and sometimes when the feast comes, it's like you're drinking from the fire hose. And I wanted to come home early for two reasons. One reason is it looks ominous outside. And they're saying that they're up north, there's a golf ball size hail, and they expect damages to homes and all that shit. And I fucking hate storms like this. I used to not bother me. Like in my old age, I'm getting like really chicken shit. I don't like to drive in the bad weather, like a snow day. 'Cause when the roads are icy, and I hate hail. Like we've always had hail, bad hail where we've been, and since that last hailstorm, which was severe, and it caused all kinds of damage, and we had to get all kinds of insurance claims and all that kind of crap, I've grown to despise hail. And that time there were softball-sized hail. It was insane. So I got home a little early. I let Harley out before because I was like, I hope she's got to go do her business. And we're gonna buckle in. I called Barb. She's stuck at work. She can't come home. So I parked the Durango, which I drove in today because they said there was gonna be hail, and I didn't want to get the new vehicle bombarded with hail. So both vehicles are parked in the garage, and when I get a phone call from Barb, I have to back out the Durango so she can park her car in there. So, I'm turning on my phone really loud, so if you hear things, I don't usually have like notifications on unless it's a text notification. Although I'm getting a lot of political texts, and I don't know how they fucking get my number, and those annoy me to no end. Even if they're for parties that I'm going to vote for anyway. It's like I don't want the political message on my phone. I don't know how they get my cell phone, but 'cause usually we use my home phone, and that's the one that we filter, and it's like leave a message. We never, we have caller ID, never pick up. But I don't know how that all goes, but it bothers me. I'm not looking forward to this hailstorm. I did get a eBay package today, and I think it's the last Walmart 100-page giant, like, breaking my heart here because they're not doing them anymore. I thought they were canceling at the LCS original. Ooh, these aren't. It isn't the LCS. This is something else. I thought it was. So I spent some money on these, way more than what they're worth, in my opinion. But these are the Elite Allegiance comics that were direct to Walmart. And my Walmart that's closest to me, where I usually get the 100-page giants, I looked all over for these. And sometimes these things are hard to find. Like I heard reports that they're with the magazine section. I've heard some reports that they're with the collectibles. I checked both. I checked looking for this display. Allegiance Comics was direct to Walmart. And in reality, man, these things are fucking expensive. They're $5 for a regular 32-page comic. And I couldn't find them. And I sat on it for too long because I was trying to get free shipping at Walmart because you could order these directly online And by the time I got around to placing an order, they were already out, and I couldn't get them via the Walmart app. So I went on to eBay and I purchased these. And they came in okay condition. I wish the guy would have put bags and boards, but he didn't. He just threw them in an envelope folder. But we got Red Rooster by Brett Weiser and Pellegrini. We got Bass Reeves, and these motherfuckers, they put the Walmart price tag right over the fucking logo. The fucking asshole. Kevin Grevox, and I don't know who the artist is that says Williams. David Williams. Nora Saga by Blake Northcutt and Kelsey Shannon. And The Futurists by, this one is by, it has Butch Geist art. What the fuck? So I'm glad I picked this up. Patrick Stiles is the writer. So I don't know about when the next issues of this will be coming out or if they will. But yeah, I was able to success like online the batch of four is going for $40. So it's almost like $10 a book. And I was able to place an offer and bring that down. I also want to put out a thank you for Iowa's Joe at on Twitter, which is my buddy Joe Crawford from the my co-host on the Everything Else podcast, which we've got to do. He sent me some comics. He sent me the official comics adaptation of Annie number two. So now I have to get number one. He sent me a C2E2 2010, what do you call it, guide. Those might be collectibles because of COVID. We might not have conventions anymore. We have Crawl number two, which I am really looking forward to. And now I love the movie Crawl. We have I have volume one and volume two of Cyber Rad, but I guess I didn't have Cyber Rad 2000 Death Watch, and he sent me number one. And I am trying to complete my continuity, so this was a pleasant surprise. Might read that for the podcast. He sent me a Supergirl promo. There are actually two of these. There's a number one and a number two. And I couldn't find it in my database, but it's under Supergirl 1980. I think it's the pre-crisis Supergirl. And it's a American Honda Presents DC Comics Supergirl. And there is, it's in cooperation with the U.S. Department of Transportation. He sent me a romance comic, and I am a sucker for these romance comics. It's from Charlton. It's called The Secrets of Young Brides. I think there are some older issues of this from Not Charlton. This is a Charlton number 9, a 30-cent comic, and it has a female signature on here. Her name is Charla Crane or Krantz. So she signs her comics. And that looks really juicy. I'm getting a text, so I'm gonna go over there because it's probably Barb. And sure enough, it is. As my purple rose bloomed, I did not check. And she'll probably say, well, go check, but I'm fucking recording. We have one purple rose. We want to get somebody to clear out this one. We had originally brought two rose bushes, and they were overtaken by this hybrid rose bush, which we didn't even plant. And those other two are barely surviving. We usually get like two buds a year, and then the other one shoots out a bunch of red roses, but this year nothing. So it's very strange. And what is she saying now? Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, well, I gotta pause this because I gotta go take care of something. Oh, well, I'm trying this again to see if if I can increase the volume. Going max. And nothing, it's weird. It's weird. But what that was Barb, and she's saying go out there and check the rose, that one rose, that and see if it's bloomed, 'cause she wanted a picture before the hail came down, and it is getting nasty. I am hoping we don't get wind damage, but the winds are blowing like fucking nuts. And now my volumes are back to what I'm used to, so I don't know what I'm gonna have to do with that first part of the podcast. I'm gonna have to boost the fuck out of it. So, what else did I get? I got attack number 18, and this I've always liked when it has a Japanese tank, and they have a soldier strapped to the front of the tank, and American soldiers are deciding whether to light him up. And he's like, "Shoot, you yellow punk." That's pretty racist, but he says, "You gotta stop the tank." And the guy says, No, give me a bazooka, Floyd, I'll do it." He's like, I don't care, I'm gonna fucking kill my own soldier." It's quite the predicament. I like war comics. And then he gave me The Futurians by Dave Cockrum, number one. And I don't know if this is like the third volume or what. There's a couple of them. Gave me a copy of Amazing Heroes, featuring Scout, number 81. Don't have much, like, I'm big into fanzines, but I don't have much Amazing Heroes for sure. These things are dangerous though, because you find stuff that you didn't know about, and like from an independent or something, and you're like, I need to get that. Yeah, it looks really good. So he gave me Convocations, a Magic the Gathering gallery. It's a bunch of artwork from Magic the Gathering, some of which I like and some of which I'm like, what the fuck is that? But I've never been into Magic, but because it's Armada, which was a licensed property that came out of Valiant, I thoroughly like this shit. And then he gave me a couple issues that I think I already have, so I'm probably gonna talk to Rob Krieger or Kirk and see if they need him. But Shotgun Wedding and Eclipse, he gave me several of those issues. So I think I was missing one Shotgun Wedding though, believe it or not. And then really a huge thank you. Let me see, get his name right, because I don't want to fuck it up. Why is it not showing up? Chris Pfeiffer. I was gonna. He's on Twitter. He sent me a bunch of fish police. And what's really cool about this is between the fish police I ordered and the fish police he gave me, volume 2 and some of volume 1, I almost have a full run of fish police, which is really cool. There's a Marvel one too, but I don't have that one. But I read one number 1, and you know what? I really enjoyed it because it's like humorous crime noir, and I like that setting. And I don't know if the whole series will be like that, but that is like really up my alley. And then he sent me a Blood of Dracula, so thank you, Chris. He's also the one that got me started on the Cat and Mouse comic book, which I because he gave me one and I enjoyed it so much, I supported a Kickstarter and got one and number 1 of the new series, and then number 2 I got off of Indie Planet, which I'm going to have to make another purchase from them because there's a new one coming out from those creators that I like, Atomic Pulp. And usually there's a lot of, it's kind of fun shopping on there. The website kind of sucks, but once you start navigating and finding stuff, it's really fun because these are comics that people are publishing to print on demand, which probably means they will have no value, but it's still fucking fun. Man, I'm cussing a lot. The other thing I got was a Kickstarter Le Fay from Evolutionize. It's one of the Kickstarters that I've been supporting and constantly supporting, and I supported Le Fay. It just looks gorgeous, these covers and stuff. I support them all, but I supported Le Fay. One thing that was really good about this Kickstarter, I want to do a shout out to him. I think his name is Michael Dupree. He writes almost 100% of these Evolutionize No Sleep comics. And I signed up for, I missed number 1 and I wanted number 1 and 2 because number I was going to support number 3, so I ordered a Kickstarter that says please send me number 1 and 2, and 1 and 2 came in and I actually got some extra stuff, so which is cool. 1 and 2 came in, but I ordered 1 and 2 and only 2 came in, so I sent him a note. And I said, can you please send me number 1? Because, yeah, I can read the digital, but man, I paid for a print and I like to get print. And he sent me number 1 along with a bonus comic. So that was really, really cool. It was Armor 1, number 1 from Evolution-y. I don't know how to pronounce it, but that's the publishing cat. They would be a good company to support. There's also another, these ones I won on an eBay, no, sorry, Facebook auction, and got Doctor Strange number 70, 71, 69. This is during Midnight Suns, kind of Doctor Strange. 68, 67. Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew number 7. Number 6. This is a fault of mine because I never liked funny comics. But it's DC and I need to have it. Plus, it's Scott Shaw. And that guy is great. I met him at San Diego Comic-Con one year. And he, if I remember correctly, he was the. What do they call it? I want to say MC, but the guy who leads the panel, moderator, I guess, for the not the drink and draw, but the quick draw. I'm sure it had Sergio Aragonés, Jim Lee, and Kyle Baker all drawing against each other, and I don't know if back then if they. If I remember correctly, Len Wein was in the audience too, and they like shouted him out. They said, "The creator of Wolverine." And I don't know if any if you've ever met Len Wein, but man, this guy's all smiles, man. It's he's something great. I got a couple issues of Dead World. That's a zombie book that from Caliber. Mystery Thrilling Adventures number 2. I had number 1. A really old one, and I probably bid a little high on this one, but it was such great condition. It was a Blue Beetle of the Charlton 12 cent issue. This is not the Ted Kord, this is the Dan Garrett. And I don't know the exact number because Charlton didn't put numbers back then. But it was one I missed. I got some Eerie. I got Eerie number 72. Some magazine size comics. Marvel Preview number 18 featuring Star Lord. I have number 17, I believe. Eerie number 69. That's a gorgeous cover. Creepy number 11. And this is a Warren magazine for 35 cents. And Eerie number 68. So I've been reading a lot of magazines lately, comic magazines, and Creepy got me, or The Creeps got me hooked on that. And ever since, anytime I can get a magazine, I'll go for it. I also want to shout out Dennis Chandler from the Best of the Rest podcast because he sent me this really spectacular book. It's from Ballantine Books. It's called Ariel, The Book of Fantasy. And it features work from Ray Bradbury, Richard Corbin, Harlan Ellison, Frank Frazetta, Ursula Le Guin, Michael Moorcock, and J.R.R. Tolkien. And some of these are prose stories with art that goes along with them. Has Bruce Jones illustration on the back. Let me see what else it has in here. It has a prequel to The Boy and His Dog by Harlan Ellison. I love that movie. I should read that. Frank Frazetta, an article about him, and a lot of his art that goes along with the article. And it looks like a picture of him and his wife, or Princes and Mermen, Bruce Jones. It looks beautiful. I'm a Bruce Jones fan. A lot of people don't like what he did to Warlord and what he did to Checkmate and DC side, but I've always liked him. I loved his Hulk too. Thinking of Frankenstein, an article. Most of these are articles, and then it's got Richard Corbin comic book at the end. Looks like something from Mutant World, or stuff I've been actually reading from Heavy Metal. And there is nudity. And then Michael Moorcock, who Keith Knutson, DC Noise, used to love. He's into that D&D stuff and fantasy stuff. I never got into it until recently. Recently, I found out I love every comic. Like, every comic, even the ones I don't like, I love because I can find something, whether it be an ad, whether it be a piece of art or some coloring or something, I could find something to love in every comic book. So that's that. Then I finally got the nerve to go to my old comic shop because I wanted to see how he was doing and if he survived the COVID. I had been to another one where I get my boxes because he supplies me with the drawer boxes and he's the only one that will do it for me in the Springs, or else I'd have to either go up to Denver and get them myself or have them shipped, and shipping is very expensive on drawer boxes. So I do like the fact that I can get them at this other place. But I went in and on a on a Wednesday, and it was quiet. Like, it looks like the Wednesday warrior is gone. Usually I go on a Wednesday between 6 and 6:30, and man, it looks nasty out there. Holy shit. Looks like some of these trees are gonna come down. Like, I'm glad we had our aspens were dying. They had hit their 24 year mark or whatever, and they because of we're on lower ground, not near the mountain where they don't grow as big. They might kill the one aspen that we have. This wind, because it's a tiny one. We actually had them remove the roots and everything, but this one we didn't remove because it had another aspen growing out of it, and it was a pretty healthy looking one, so we decided to keep it. And it doesn't look too good in the wind there. So I'm hoping this will blow over and we'll miss it. In Black Forest, they were getting golf ball size hail, like I said. Well, I went to Ed's Cards and Comics, and he's getting new comics. He is going to Lunar. I asked him how he liked Lunar, and he said he's gotten two shipments from him, and he's way better. He's so much happier with Lunar. I didn't ask him like how much money he's losing switching to another distributor, which I should have if I had more time, but he was getting ready to close. And he said that he loves their shipping, he likes their policies. And then he showed me his diamond box where he had gotten, man, he got a boatload of damaged comics. And I sometimes his damages are tolerable. Like, I'd say you could put that up there. You're not catering. Like, not every fan's the guy that on Clerks that has to look for the perfect egg. But these ones were like folded in half. I'm like, holy shit. Yeah, they were bad. Some of the worst comics I've seen packaged in a long time. And I don't know if that's because Diamond was hiring back up after COVID and they didn't train these people right, or what? Because they did design these new boxes and they're supposed to protect the book more. They're harder to carry. I used to like the old boxes better, and they're harder to disassemble because they use, instead of using tape and folds, they use like this sturdy glue, and they're harder to pull apart. Like when I'm getting ready to throw them away. But did you need to hear that? I don't know. You probably don't give a shit. I haven't been reading a lot of comics because I've been exhausted. Like I don't want to. I like to veg when I get home and go to sleep. Like I've been working so much that it's like all. I like to wake up in the morning, exercise before I go to work. I get half hour on the elliptical, and then I take Harley for another half hour to 45-minute walk, and then I head off to work. And I've been watching. I went from westerns to cheesy movies. I watched Big Bad Mama. Starring Angie Dickinson, policewoman, and also starred William Shatner. Let me see who else. There was another big one, and I'm not remembering the name. And it's important that I remember the name because what I want to say about it. Oh, Tom Skerritt. The reason that I'm going to mention Tom Skerritt is because he is a big character in it. And I did find some uncomfortable stuff. This was 1974, And I don't know when Policewoman came out, but that I used to watch it. It has a lot of nudity, a lot of nudity. It's got a lot of butt and a lot of breasts. Director was Steve Carver, Angie Dickinson, William Shatner, Tom Skerritt, Susan Sennett, and Robbie Lee. They played Billie Jean and Polly, who are the daughters. And what this is, it's like a after the Depression, sort of right after it, and the death of her lover, they go into bootlegging business, and that leads them into bank robbing and doing all kinds of crazy shit. And she goes on the road with her two daughters. She teaches them to shoot guns and do all this stuff. And they run into Tom Skerritt. Okay. Tom Skerritt, I knew from Top Gun, and he was in Poison Ivy, which he slept with an underage girl in that movie. And he does it again in this one. But I don't think they're underage because one of the daughters was getting married. And I don't know in 1974 what the earliest thing was to marry, but she looked like she was out of high school. The other one was a little older. But anyway, the uncomfortable part of this is not that he has sex with the daughters, but he has sex with the mom and both daughters. And gets one of them pregnant. And I'm like, holy shit. But anyway, he's a bank robber, and Wilma, Angie Dickinson's character, meets him at a bank robbery, and it's a messed up bank robbery, and he's got like his Tommy gun, he's shooting it up, and Wilma takes advantage of that, and her and her daughter start raiding the money as the police are fighting off this guy, Tom Skerritt character. So he eventually gets on their car and they end up teaming up and then sleeps with Angie Dickinson. And then they meet William Shatner, who is not a violent criminal, but he's more like a con man. They meet him at the racetrack. And Angie Dickinson just says, "Oh, now I'm attracted to William Shatner." He's got a funny accent in this one. And goes with him, and Tom Skerritt's in love with Wilma, but she denies his sexual advances because she's got Captain Kirk. And the older daughter's horny as hell, so she jumps on Tom Skerritt and has sex with him, and then she feels bad for her sister because she's a virgin, and then they have sex. So it's like it's a weird situation because Tom Skerritt's character, but anyway, it ends up in a big old battlefield, a battle with the cops, and a lot of death. And it's sort of campy and funny. And then I started watching Truck Driver, Truck Stop Women. And it was because you liked Big Bad Mama, you should try Truck Stop Women. And the cover looked really cool. It was a woman that had a truck stop that was using it as a brothel for truck drivers, but not only doing that, but she'd have the women work that work for her go out hitching and show leg and breast to truck drivers with a broken down car, and when the truck driver stopped, they'd club him over the head. I don't know if they killed him, I never explained that. And they'd steal the rig and then drive it to the truck stop and then raid the back of it. So if all they had TVs or whatever was in it, clothing, they'd raid it and sell it. And then they'd strip the truck and then paint it another color and put new license plates on it and own the truck. So they were in this, and then somebody from New York, forget about it. He comes and he kills her partner in California and wants to take over a business, so he builds a truck stop and is trying to take over her business, and there's a big rivalry, and the woman that owns the brothel and truck stop, She her daughter is real rebellious, so she goes off with this guy and gives him all the secrets, and there's like this constant conflict and a lot of dead people and a lot of robbed trucks and a lot of breasts and a lot of craziness. I enjoyed it. It was a fun movie. It did it the only actor I recognized in it, well, Big Mama, I wonder if it had any details of frequently. Oh, the other thing about Big Mama that's amazing is the cars they use from the 30s. Oh my God, they're awesome. Like they really had good set design for what I wanted to see if they had how much money this took to make. Because yeah, it doesn't have it. Because I'd be real curious because I know that Big Mama 2 was filmed in 14 days and its production values are better than Big Bad Mama, so that was interesting. And let's see, truck, but it has Uncle Leo from Seinfeld, a young Uncle Leo. He plays one of the mechanics. Truck Stop Women, that was 1974. And let's see if it has any statistics on that. A lot of them good reviews, 'cause classic camp. The budget was the filming location was New Mexico, which was pretty cool. Yeah, it actually took place in New Mexico, that truck stop. The box office was 20,000 estimated. Not 20,000, 200,000. And it doesn't have a lot of facts. I like to read the facts. But it's a great film. Not a great film. It's a fun film. I'll say that. So there are a lot of recommendations on IMDb based on my liking that one. So I'm sure the Great Texas Dynamite Chase might be next. I don't know. But and Bonnie's Kids, I know Amazon had because it was recommended, and I think the Arena it had too. I'm not sure it had Gator Bait. But I'm watching Big Mama too, and I'm enjoying it. It's a little more classy so far. I don't know if it's gonna get more raunchy as I'm about halfway through it. It does say Angie Dickinson does show her breasts in here, but it's not her. She has a stand-in. Whereas I think in the original, she did all her own nude scenes. So, yeah, I've been into the raunchy movies. And I'm probably gonna go back to westerns pretty soon because I'm getting into that vibe. But man, Amazon Prime is supplying me a lot of watching material. They have so many movies. And I watched like five westerns. I've queued up the Lords of Flatbush. I watched Southern Comfort again for the third time because I liked it so much. That's about a bunch of National Guardsmen in Louisiana that go on a mission in the swamps, and they run, and some asshole in the National Guard, they have only guns with blanks, except for one guy, but he thinks it's funny to take his M16 and fire at a bunch of Cajuns. And from that point on, they're being hunted by the Cajuns. Starring Powers Booth and Keith Carradine. It's recommended. Yeah, I've been not watch reading a lot of comics. Because of work. So I exercise and watch 30 minutes of a movie. I usually start it at right before bed. So instead of reading lately, I've been putting on my iPad, on Amazon Prime queuing up a movie and then starting it and then sort of watching it on two exercise sessions. So that's what I've been up to. But anyway, I talked to this comic shop owner again, and he's trying to get me, he says, "You gotta start buying comics for me again." And I'm like, I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. Matter of fact, you're buying comics from, he knew this already though, from the company that I buy comics from. So I'm getting it like from the source. And he was happy to see me because he was telling me that Wednesdays are pretty drab. And he thinks that his shop is hurting because of the Marvel. Like most of his customers, man, I would say 70% of his clientele are Marvel. And Marvel's only been putting out a few books. And then the next week they skip and then they do trades. And my shop, that shop, doesn't do trades. They're just singles. They specialize in pop figures, cards. I don't even know if he's doing cards anymore. Like game cards and figures, pop figures and comic books, you know, singles and back issues. He's got the biggest back issue stock in Colorado Springs. There's no one that has bigger, none of the stores have bigger back issue stock than he does. And he's got a lot of dollar books now, something that he was really against. And I'm sure he's trying to get out of this funk, and that's why he's selling a lot of dollar books. He's realized they were just sitting there, and he's trying to get through it. And I bought three dollar books. But most of the stuff I already have, like he's putting a lot of within the last 10 years. And for me, I've bought a lot of comics in the last 10 years that I already own. So they're like boxes full of that. But if I go through the box, they're in no order whatsoever. I'll find some stuff that I want, but I only found like three books this last time. Found an old Blackhawk, which I already probably have, but I can never turn those down. And I found another Clive Barker superhero book with a fancy cover, and I can't remember what the other one was. But I want to go back and if he has the sale going still and start looking at his magazines because he does have like I don't know six boxes of. Of old magazines and just see what he has there, and at 50% off, depending on what the cost is, could be a good deal. The other thing that I wanted to talk about briefly was the last couple of weeks when I'm recording my not recording, but gathering the data for what I read that week, I got extremely lazy. Like what I usually do is I rank them, I put them on there, and then I write a short description so I'll remember everything that happened. And I did rank them, I did total them, but I didn't put any synopsis next to them. I just wanted to read more than write. It takes a while to type in little descriptions. And I don't know if I'm going to do that anymore. So let me know what you think. Do you like the synopses at the end, or do you just like the rankings? Let me know. Because I'm thinking of just ranking them and then talk about some highlights maybe that I remember. Let me know what you think, or if you want all the synopses that I've been doing, let me know. So far, no hail, and the winds died, but I don't know if that's the calm before the storm. And I got my DCBS box today, and it's pretty big. It is pretty big. So, what else did I want to talk about? Oh, I did notice his new stock. He wasn't stocking like he used to. He used to have at the store. He used to have like a whole roll of DC, and I think he's only doing like pull box customers and then stocking like a few issues here and there. He had a lot of indies, but not a lot of DC, and I don't know if that's because he had to get set up with Lunar or what. And he had sold out of Batman's, he had told me, and he sold really well on the he sold out completely on the Joker, which had been hot around across the country. So, it was an interesting. I got to go back to see if I can find any more magazines because I've been on that kick, and I've been wanting to complete my Spider-Man. I don't know why, like all of them, like Amazing Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man, and Web. So I've been picking up a lot of those lately. My latest Aaron Myers one's gonna be interesting because it's more of a nostalgia thing for me. He had a lot of those old trade color paperback books. They were pocket sized ones that I had as a kid, but I didn't have these ones. And I might have had one Conan the Barbarian, but I just doubled down and just got them all. He posted them, and I was like, I gotta get these. And I signed up for the Bionic Man magazine, which I've been really wanting to get into those. A black and white magazine with the $6 Million Man and Planet of the Apes. I already own the Planet of the Apes magazines in one form because Boom Studios archived them, and I own all the archives. But this was number one, and I thought it would be a great issue to have. And to tell you the truth, the archive, because of the paper they use, I think it diminishes the magazine. Like if you were to look at the art on a magazine with just the newsprint and compare it to the art that's in the on the gloss, it looks much better in the magazine, like 100 times better. And I don't know why that is, but it does. So I think I want to wrap this one up and then record the let's see, Harley wants to go out. You better go out now. You better go poo-poos. If you're gonna go now, you go now. Go on. Go on. You gotta go now. You go quickly because in about 20 minutes you're not gonna wanna go outside. It's gonna be hailing. So you can probably hear the wind that's coming from out there. But man, I'll be happy if we avoid that hail. It's like over us right now. I don't know if we're gonna get it or not. But I'll be ecstatic. And hopefully, on my wife's side of town, they avoid it as well. So I'll be back to talk about some weekly reads. And please let me know what you think about the format going forward. The next few weeks, I'll still have everything with the write-ups, but let me know if you care. I'd appreciate it. Just on Twitter is probably the easiest. But if you want to talk to me, Mike at comicbooknoise.com is the next best place. Or if you're friends with me on Facebook, I don't usually accept friends, but I keep my Facebook family tight. Because there's more personal stuff on there. And but you can go to Facebook and look at Geek Brunch Podcast and get a hold of me on there as well. That's another great way to get a hold of me. So, it's raining on her side of the town. She says small hail, and lightning. So hopefully the Elantra won't be bombarded with. I hope not. Because, man, there's still cars in our parking lot that have hail damage. They never got fixed, and they look like shit. It looks like somebody threw a softball and hit it, dented the hood and dented the top of the roof, and it's awful. Well, Harley's barking, but she's in the yard. She's not barking to come in. She's like, what the fuck is this weather like? I've been cussing a lot today. I don't know why. I apologize. I'm not usually that bad. But anyway, there was a couple other topics I wanted to talk about, but I forgot. And I think what I'm going to do is just sum up 2 weeks worth and wrap this episode up. I will talk to you again soon. I have a DCBS box to open, and I guess I'm anxious to do that. I'll talk to you in a bit. All right, I'm back, and we're just going to do 2 weeks of books. And I'll be honest with you, in these 2 weeks, I was on a DC kick. Basically, going through books that I had an inventoried in a closet, and that's where most of these came from. For the week of May 4th, 2020 to May 10th of 2020, I had a total of 20 books, not a lot. I had one Marvel, one Heavy Metal, two Dynamite, 16 DC, and again, 3 out of 5s. That means I liked it. Heavy Metal, 297. There are a bunch of Christmas stories. The one I liked the most were the straightforward ones. There were some that were very ambiguous. I did have more fun talking about it with Bill than I did actually reading it, be honest with you. But it did inspire me to buy more Heavy Metal. I don't know why, especially if it was a 3 out of 5. I just want to read it. One of the stories was an alien is telling a story of why they celebrate the holiday, and it seems like it is the day that all deities like Jesus and all these multiversian creatures are sacrificed to some spider alien. That's like, Jesus was sacrificed. It was an interesting take because all these deities had sacrificed themselves to this overall spider deity. The other one is Santa runs across some trolls, and it turns out instead of trying to stop Santa on Christmas, they just want to offer him thanks. Those are my two favorite stories, but there were quite a few others that I fleshed out more once I talked to Bill about, and I probably liked slightly more. They all had Christmas themes except for the Corbin story, which was a continuing story from the anthology. We have 4 out of 5s, Tales to Astonish. So let me know, do you like those summaries? And if you don't, let me know, because I'll just say 3 out of 5 Heavy Metal, 297. Or do you like those little synopsis? So 4 out of 5s, we have Tales to Astonish, number 98. Enjoyed this one as the Plunderer is attacking Atlantis. Atlantis has banned Namor, and the U.S. is attacking the Plunderer and Atlantis. So it's like everybody's attacking who? And then Hulk is being controlled by the Lord of Living Lightning to attack the base, an Air Force base. I really want to have a full run of Tales to Astonish. Not going back to number one, but the ones that had the Hulk and Namor, especially. And you had Ant-Man books in there too, but I really want the ones that were Hulk and Namor specific. Because I almost have a full run of Namor now, Volume 1. Submariner story from the 12 Cent issues up. And I almost have a close to a full run of Hulk, minus 1 through 5, but going from like 102 or wherever it starts back up to the end. Yeah, there's still some I need to to finish, but now it looks like the hail's coming. Yep, sure enough. Son of a bitch. I was hoping to avoid it. Right now they're about this little pea-sized, but I don't like the way it's hitting the skylight. It sounds horrible. Red Sonja, Age of Chaos 2 and 3. Lady Demon tries to recruit Chastity and Red Sonja and says Sonja caused the death of a world when she killed the sorcerer. They have the artifact, and Hel, HEL is sending Purgatory and Jade after Red Sonja and Chastity. Meanwhile, evil Ernie gets a dragon and is also going after the artifact. So it's various Chaos characters and Red Sonja going after the artifact of the sorcerer that Red Sonja killed in the Hyberian Age. I'm just walking over to my phone to see what is going on, and it's a message from Rob and Chris about recording on Sunday. So I thought it was Barb saying, "Oh, get more hail." Now I'm not, I don't know if you can hear this, but it doesn't sound good. And we got a new skylight because of the damage that the last hailstorm did to it. So I'm hoping this one will do all right. But I don't like the way it's hitting the back of the house. Just let it pass. I was hoping we could avoid it because the dark clouds sort of passed, but I guess now it's, the winds died down. Remember I told you it's maybe we're in the center of the storm now. So hopefully this will all pass. So those are 4 out of 5. Tales to Astonish, Red Sonja, Age of Chaos. We have All-Star Western 10 and 11. These ones I read out of the collected edition, which was the All-Star Western Jonah Hex hardcover that came out. I do own the singles on this. So Jonah goes to a town where he brings in 2 bounties at $100 each for a gang that is taking over the land because the railroads are coming into town. Wow, you're not going to be able to hear me because of all the hail. This is awful. Barb's probably thanking me for bringing her plant. I almost want to close the blinds because it's freaking me out. Harley, like, just got out and came in just in time. And the other thing you got to watch out for in times of these downpours like this is the basement. So, hopefully this will pass, but god dang, I don't know if you hear it, but for me it's exceptionally loud because I'm deaf in one ear. With human voice, I'm deaf in one ear, I should say, but I have incredible hearing at tones that I don't need to hear, like pounding and tweets and all this other stuff. I can hear the non-vocal range very well, but the vocal range is totally gone in that one ear. But I don't know if I'm hearing it extra loud or if it really is extra loud. It's a lot of hail. So those $100 bounties, they're waiting for him in a saloon, but Hex goes in and kills all but one, who goes to hide out with the boss. He tracks them and kills one, but the boss gets away and captures a boy's mom, and he puts a gun down to save her. Instead of shooting Jonah, the boss actually runs, and Jonah hunts him down and kills him. This guy actually had a shot at killing Jonah, but he didn't, because he had unholstered his gun to try to save the mother. The boy invites Jonah Hex over for dessert, but when he gets there, the mother shoots at him. So he thinks of starting a family and buying a house, but the townsfolk don't want him there, probably because of his looks and because he's a bounty hunter, and tell him nothing's available when they even know that there is housing available. And then Jonah Hex saves a young man from getting killed. We think this guy is good, but he really has a wife, and there are thieves, and Jonah does not learn that until the very end. So he saves this dude, and he's really a bad guy, and so is his wife. They're con cowboys, I guess you could say. And then the 5 out of 5s, that was All-Star Western 10 and 11, and Jonah Hex 57 through 70. So I marshaled through a lot of these Jonah Hex. There's a couple of summaries I'll go over. 2 young boys sneak out to see the legend of Jonah Hex is true. There's a It stars the Tiger Twins, Nighthawk, Scalp Hunter, Cinnamon, and Batlash. That was badass. And it was narrated by a bullet. Like, the story is narrated by not even a person. It's narrated by a bullet. I had goosebumps as Hex found out the butcher was innocent and the man who was going to take his land was really his woman's plan. The Gray Ghost is after Hex. Jonah is after a man that has a bounty on his head and teams up with the man's brother. There's a story of some gambling gone wrong in a town, and Hex spends some time with his wife, Mi Ling. Yes, Jonah Hex has a wife, Mi Ling. You probably are like, what's her name? Black, can't think of her name. Tallulah Black. Nope, his wife was Mi Ling. Jonah, along with others, have to get an octopus, this is a weird story, to a circus on time. With a bunch of other men that turn on him. Jonah goes after a child molester named Loco. A Mexican woman named Rosa becomes obsessed with Hex and tries to kill him. Hex is saved multiple times by someone that has a bounty on his head. Just fantastic storytelling. Jonah is hunting a man in the snow and is saved by the man he is trying to hunt. That was an emotional story. The man saves a couple of times, and Jonah rips up the poster because he was supposed to be hunting this guy, but he lets him live. Which is fair because he did save Jonah twice. Another story in the snow where there is a town that welcomes Jonah, and he is put in a room with three whores, and they almost try to kill him, and he realizes this town has become cannibals, and they eat people. Because they haven't had supplies delivered to this town forever. Jonah is accused of murder in a town where he has to find out who really killed the man. Jonah runs into his own father, who gives him to Native Americans. It gives all his backstory, and Jonah watches him die slowly. The final story is as Jonah has an adventure with Tallulah Black, one of my favorites, Scalp Hunter, and Batlash. As he almost dies but survives to ride off into the sunset. Some crazy dream that he has of his daughter. Very cool story. Jonah Hex, 5 out of 5. Issues 57 through 70 of the Palmiotti and Gray. And All-Star Western 10 and 11 from the past. We then have the week of May 11th. Man, that's a lot of hail. Through May 17th. We had a total of 36 comics, and they were all DC. The 3 out of 5 was JSA All-Stars 16 through 18. I finally got around to finishing the series. The series wraps up with the All-Stars taking on Regal, Dr. Hate, and the powerful Sun Prince. There are some interesting D-listers, but I sure would like to see the female Judo Master again. She was my highlight of that run. Knight and Squire, 2 through 6. This was DC. They were introduced, I think, in Batman Incorporated. Want to see what's happening in the skylight right now. Let's see if we're okay. So far, I don't see any dripping. But I do see, like, there might be damage to our gutters because looks like they're overflowing right now. So I just want to, holy moly, mother of God, it's bad out there. Yeah, we got some blood going on. So one of the things I did is I kept the slopes of the house as when we got them. So it like drains right to the middle of the yard, which is good and away from the house. But man, it's getting ugly. And I don't know if you heard how bad it is, but it's bad out there. So Knight and Squire take on a racist right-wing Morris man. Very entertaining as you begin to hate these Morris men, and the heroes are cool to watch. And I really like the Jimmy Braxton art. COR, Core, the British version of Star Labs, has the technology to bring back life, and they choose to do it on Richard III. He appears harmless at first, but he wants to take over England, and the Knight and Squire have to take him on. Knight also has a butler, and his name is Hank. Squire has a date that has its moments, and Knight has to fight his own armor. Jarvis Poker, the British Joker, that sounds cool. I don't remember a reading sound that cool, but when you read it out loud, it's pretty cool. Is dying and goes to a small crime spree, and the heroes are going to let him. Then the real Joker gets involved, and bodies start to pile up. Joker kills Squire's boyfriend's Strike. So Strike was Squire's boyfriend, and he was kind of like a hero. And he ended up getting killed. Jarvis has one last joke to play on the Joker. We have Wonder Woman 600 through 614. This was the JMS Odyssey story arc, also in that box, where Themyscira is made invisible to man's world and they are attacked, which causes the Amazons to flee. Wonder Woman is being hunted by the Morgan, who have enlisted Artemis, Giganta, and Cheetah. Dinah loses her mom and many other Amazon friends. Diana. I spelled it like Black Widow, Black Canary, with a dumbass. The gods are trying to guide her as hooded oracles, and Wonder Woman is near death, but is saved by Dr. Psycho. And Dr. Psycho is one of my favorite characters. In the Wonder Woman mythos, the main villain turns out to be Nemesis, and after the finale, all is restored back to normal for the New 52, which is very interesting. This included the outfit where she wore pants, which was very controversial at the time for some people. I don't know why. Oh my God, we don't see the sexy legs. JSA 80-page giant 2011. This had some really interesting stories in it. JSA had a huge lineup at this time with the JSA, Justice Society of America, and the JSA All-Stars. It really needed this book to flesh out some of the great stories of the individuals. Citizen Steel story was great. He's one of my favorites, and the Spectre one was also fantastic. We have Justice Society of America 44 through 54. This was volume 2 after the Geoff Johns run. Scythe blew up Monument Point and paralyzed Alan Scott. Dr. Chaos arrives and kills Lightning and makes Mr. Terrific stupid. That's pretty important. Jay tries to keep Monument Point under control and even brings in Blue Devil. Manhunter takes down the Grundys. That's the Kate Spencer Manhunter. Just exciting stuff. Jay is elected mayor and Guggenheim introduced Red Beetle, who looks like the Blue Beetle, except it's a female in a red costume. Rye and the Dark Knight to assist the team. These were cool introductions. They're very subtle, and you don't, if you're not paying attention, you might miss them. But they're really cool characters that were introduced, which are never used again, to my knowledge. Dr. Chaos, which is the best JSA villain ever, in my opinion, is hired by Senator, to the final climactic battle with Scythe as he was trying to keep Dakin from awakening at Monument Point. Dr. Fate, Rye, and Dr. Midnight managed to bring back Lightning. Those micro bombs that Dr. Chaos implemented in random people was just crazy town. He put like these micro bombs in just random people across town. I don't even remember if they explained how he did it. Maybe through food or something they ate, but they had bombs in them. Such a fantastic story, and I try to drive the superpowers out because they can wake up a god that has been kept a secret. That's what they're really trying to do, is keep the JSA out of that town because this god would be awoken. I loved it. Really good story by Guggenheim. We had Justice Society of America number 1. I went back and read the beginning of this, And the Trinity asked the JSA members to recruit young members and train them. They pick up Cyclone, Ma Huckle's granddaughter. She plays a big part in the Justice JSA All-Stars. And Starman, from the Legion of Superheroes, and he's kind of got like he doesn't remember who he is, and he's in a psycho ward. So, yeah, 36 comics, the 5 out of 5s for that week were Justice Society of America 44 through 54, and Justice Society of America the same volume number one because I wanted to go back and read it. And then All-Star Western 10 and 11, and Jonah Hex 57 through 70. I hope you like the wrap up. And I hope that you enjoy reading comics as much as I do, and watching movies, which is my latest kick in the last couple of weeks, just because I've been too exhausted. I gotta go check the basement, and you can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com, and on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch, and on the website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. And also on Facebook, Geek Brunch Podcast, click the like button. I want to thank you for listening. Let me know what you think about the summaries, if you want me to get rid of them and just do the rundown, or if you like those. Talk to you later. Peace out.